You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, hello everyone. It's great to be here. Although I feel older now, the congregation is a lot younger on a Sunday evening. It's exciting times at Whole Vineyard, and Carol and myself are so happy to be part of this church. You know, the Bible says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you know, recently we've been seeing a real move of God in our midst. And we give him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. One of the things I'm very passionate about, and I have been for many, many years, is the kingdom of God. And we're in a series at the moment looking at the kingdom of God, looking at that on a Sunday morning. And yet in the evening, that theme is continuing as we look at the parables, the kingdom parables. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 25. If not, I believe some scriptures will appear on the screen. Matthew 25 is about a wedding. From my experience as a pastor, when it comes to funerals, people arrive on time. When it comes to weddings, it's a little bit more unpredictable. I remember one wedding many, many years ago, and I'd spent a lot of time getting prepared for this wedding. I was down the church half an hour before the service start. I was in my office, I was praying, and I was ready. And the time of the wedding commenced. No groom, no bride. Half an hour later, after the appointed time, the groom appears, but still no bride. An hour has gone by, and although I was prepared, I was getting quite stressed. And it was getting to the stage where I said to my wife, look, I'm going to go home now, ring me when the bride arrives. But I thought that was rather unspiritual. So I went into my office to pray, and I fell asleep. And there was a knock on the door. The bride had arrived. I was in a bit of a shock to start with, but because I'd prepared for the wedding, as soon as I woke up from my slumber, I was able to take the service. So let's read this scripture. It's Matthew chapter 25 and verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Well, we go on to read. Then all of the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." We're in verse 10 now. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let's just pray again. Father God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the way it can apply to our lives today. And we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here to lead us and to guide us as we look at your word. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's give you a bit of context of this passage, and I'm going to get down to some practical points. What's happening here is the bridegroom is late in arriving. It's an unexpected time. Some versions say the midnight hour. Others, the more accurate translation is, he arrives in the middle of the night. And these young women had a role to play in the wedding ceremony. So they would wait with the bride for the bridegroom to arrive. They needed to be prepared for the bridegroom to come at any time. And they needed to be prepared to make the journey to his home. So the situation was the bridegroom was going to arrive, and then a gang of people were going to leave and celebrate on the streets, and then the wedding proper would begin. And part of that celebration, it's nighttime, was to have these lamps, and they're walking and dancing in the streets. And Jesus takes this wedding custom and this illustration to tell us something about the kingdom of heaven. In preparing for this message, I was given a sentence called the big idea. I don't know if you wrote it, Josh, or if it was John, it was Josh. And the big idea, so if you fall asleep a little bit later on, this is the big idea. I'll tell you what it is now. The kingdom calls us to be alert, prepared, and full of oil for the coming of the king. And I thought that's good enough for me. 3 points. Point number one, be alert. Point number two, be prepared. And point number three, be full of oil. So let's look at point number one, be alert. And by that, I mean be alert to the small details. Bringing this oil was a small detail, but it made a massive difference. All 10 of these young ladies were invited. And in verse 6, we read, at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. So if you like, this parable tells us to be alert, to be prepared, and that small details can make a massive difference. I just want to tell you a story. Man and Carol's daughter, she's getting married next year, actually, in London. But she plays the saxophone, and she plays it very well. And she got to a stage where she was getting to a professional level, so she needed a better saxophone. So we got her one. So we had a spare saxophone. And I was at a service in Wood Green, that's in North London, and it was a memorial service for someone who was an elder in the first church that I pastored. And sadly, he died of a brain tumor. And he left behind 3 young children. So it was a memorial service for the father who died the previous year. And there was these 3 young children without their dad and with a young mum who was finding it difficult to cope. And the oldest of these children, who was about 14, 15 at the time, was a musician. She played the piano and she played the clarinet, which in a worship band context isn't as exciting as a saxophone. And as clear as anything during that service, God laid on my heart that spare saxophone, don't get 600 quid for it, give it to that young girl who lost her dad a year ago. So I checked with Carol, I checked with this little girl's mum, and we gave her the saxophone. A year later, we'd not heard a great deal. 2 years later, we did. This girl went on to become an excellent saxophone player. We were invited to her wedding. The person she was getting married to from Ghana was also an excellent saxophone player. and they went on to start an international ministry of music, both playing the saxophone. For me, it was a little detail, a small thing. It cost me £500, but the difference it made was absolutely phenomenal. So the first point we learn in this psalm is to be alert, and particularly to be alert to the small details. It illustrates that the wise virgins represented those who were ready, and the foolish ones, those who had failed to prepare. The wise virgins brought oil for their lamps, the foolish ones did not. A small detail adds significant consequences, so be alert to the small details. Let's just think on that a moment. We believe that God speaks to us today, and quite often during prayer or during worship, God will lay something on your heart, or you may be reading the scriptures and something will stand out, and you think it's a small thing. Be alert and be obedient. A small difference adds significant consequences. Be alert to the small details. Second point, be prepared. And by that, I mean be prepared to take responsibility. We can be very good at blaming other people, but often there's a situation where God is calling you and you need to respond individually. Let's look at our passage, verse 6. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both you and us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." So it was these young women's responsibility to bring enough oil to enable them to go out onto the streets and celebrate. And when some didn't fulfill that responsibility, they tried to put the pressure on others to be the answer to their problem. I was reading a message recently and it talked about a sign on an office wall. And this is what the sign said: "Lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part." See, these wise maidens weren't being selfish, they were being responsible. So it's wrong for us to place the blame for our mistakes on other people. There are some things that no one can do for you. Give you a couple of examples. No one is born a Christian. It's been said many times, if you were born in a garage, it wouldn't make you a car. If you were born in McDonald's, that would be interesting. It wouldn't make you a beef burger. There comes a time in your life when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you ask him to take away your sins. And the Bible says if you do that in genuineness and sincerity, he'll take your sins and he'll bury them in the deepest sea and remember them no more. Like the thief on the cross, Jesus will say to you, "This day you will be with me in paradise." So I was wondering, John, as you were getting up earlier on, there may be people here, you might have been invited this evening, or you've been thinking about spiritual things. Have you reached that stage where you've said, "Jesus, I need you, I need your forgiveness. I repent of my sins, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and use me to fulfill your plans and purposes"? There are some things that no one can do for you. And the truth is this: God is on the move. I think for what it's worth, it began in this country, of course, many years ago, goes back to the day of Pentecost, but more recently, during the pandemic, and people were locked in their homes, and they were lonely, and they were isolated, and they were frustrated in many ways, wondering what the future held. And that sowed the seeds, if you like, to people saying there must be more to life than this. And then more recently, we've had what is called the Quiet Revival. You've heard of that? And the Quiet Revival is predominantly about most of you here. Younger people who are becoming alive in God, filled with God's Holy Spirit, not content any longer with mediocrity, but playing a full part in the work of the kingdom of God. God is on the move. Many years ago, a guy called Dr. R.T. Kendall, who used to be the minister of Westminster Chapel, wrote a book called The Midnight Cry. And this is what he says about that verse, at midnight the cry rang out. He said, this verse is a powerful, worldwide wake-up call that will occur when the church is in a deep sleep preceding the second coming of Christ. Let me unpack that a little bit. When I first became a Christian, when someone preached on that verse, basically they said, the kingdom of God is the return of Jesus. Are you ready for the return of Jesus? And you said, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. But Dr. R.T. Kendall, when he looked at this verse, and I agree with him, he said, the next major event on God's calendar is not the second coming of Jesus, but an awakening of the church that precedes it. And it says there, at midnight, the cry will happen when the church is spiritually asleep and not expecting it, the midnight cry will come. We've seen the beginnings of that, and now it's accelerating, I believe, and it's a wonderful time to be alive as far as the work of the kingdom is concerned. So if you like, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. There's a gap between the two. There's an awakening of God, and word and spirit is coming together. And that leads me, my time is rushing on, to my third point, be full of oil. Don't be late. Verse 10, but while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, it says in verse 13, because you do not know the day or the hour. Most of you are young, but even then, you don't know the day or the hour. So this verse, if you like, for me, has two meanings. One is, when Jesus returns, it'll be too late. That's why you need to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. But the second thing I believe is, in the meantime, there's a work to be done, doing the work of the kingdom of God that involves not just the word, but the Holy Spirit and the two coming together. So what's the response? The response is this. This parable, as I've already said, isn't just about the return of Jesus, but it's also about living the Christian life to the full right now. So to summarize, let's take care of the details, let's take responsibility, and let's do it before it's too late. It's a call to readiness. It involves repentance, it involves renewal, and it involves a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. But it also involves more and more prayer. When Carol and myself were called to the ministry, we were worshiping in a Pentecostal church. And we've been in a church prior to that, which wasn't a lively church. We tried for a year, but it was going nowhere. And for our own sanity, we went to this Pentecostal church. And we came into that church and says, Lord, we'll do anything for you but youth work. Some of you have heard this story before, haven't you? There was an elderly couple in the church praying, Lord, bring a couple through the doors to do youth work in this church. We were that couple, reluctant to start with, but God led us and guided us. And the pastor of that church was very brave. He said, will you preach? And I spoke at a youth meeting. And at this youth meeting, I wasn't very loving, to be honest with you, but I preached the gospel. And this girl called Julie came forward with tears in her eyes. And she said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And we saw a move of God, primarily because an elderly couple prayed.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon. Thank you.